Today we want to talk about dad's game plan for raising sons and daughters. And the first question that you might ask is, are kids worth it? And there are some qualms. There's some qualms that people have, some dads would have. Number one is money. And looking at some statistics, that would be kind of intimidating. I mean, you look at what USA Today put in from the U.S. Department of Agriculture back in February 26th of 2018. It says, adding a child represents a major financial stress. The cost of raising a child today is $233,610, and that's excluding the cost of college for a middle-income family. So just hearing that number would make somebody think twice about having a kid and raising a kid, which is just the way people could look at this. Number two, another qualm could be time and effort. It takes both to do this job and to do it well. And so somebody would look at that and say, well, man, the cost of this, and then the time and effort, I don't know if I want to be willing to, or I'd be willing to put in for that. And so that would be a qualm that would be there. Thirdly is selfishness. Just the idea of, I don't want to do this. I know people that have already determined in their mind that they are not going to do this. We're just going to live on our own. And that's what our life is going to be about. And that's their decision. But that's how they would determine. And number four, the culture. The culture is something that would be pushing toward that. I mean, I've heard conversations before where people have a lot of children in their family. And I would think, I'm serious, there are people that if you have three children nowadays, there are people that would approach them and say, you do know how this works and why this is happening, as if it's a punishment that they have more children. And so those are the qualms. But here are some facts. Number one, 97% of all parents have no regrets in having children. Now that is that's an amazing number right there. But that is a fact. Number two, 75% of all parents assert that having children strengthened their marriage. Number three, 89% of all parents say that having children increased their enjoyment of life. So those are good high numbers. And then number four, 81% of all parents say watching children grow up is life's greatest pleasure. And so we see that, and we also look at the scriptures. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5 say this, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And so scripture emphasizes that children in the life of parents, in the life of families, are a beautiful thing. It's a gift. And then D, there's a challenge. The challenge is this, knowing what to do as a dad, knowing what to do as a dad. And we could categorize that there are five types of dads. A, the absent dad, and that is a dad that is physically not there. You can look at the statistics over and over again of the problems in different cultures, and it's the absent father. It's the culture that would encourage mothers to have children without a father in the home. And the detriment that this has caused in different groups is sad, and it can be turned if we as a people say we're not going to live like this anymore. And then B, the distant dad. So you have the absent dad who's physically not there, but then you have the distant dad who's around, but he's invisible at the same time. He's not making any effort at all. He could show up, sit on the couch, watch TV, or be involved with his own world, hobbies, whatever. And he feels better than the absent dad because he's physically there, but he's still not there when it comes to adding into the life of the children. Letter C, the demanding dad. That's one that makes contact through control, directives, and power. And this dad is not showing a lot of love. They're just almost military-like, and it isn't helpful over the long haul. D, there's the involved but the visionless dad. And there's a lot of dads like this. They're involved, they're doing stuff, but they don't necessarily have any sort of plan on what they see for the future of their children, what they see in making an effort in the life of their children and in their family. E is the involved and strategic dad, and that's the one that I would hope that you would want to be, the involved and strategic dad. And this is encouraged by the Old Testament. We see it in Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that word, the way that he should go, that's the idea of according to his bent, according to her bent. How are they made? How are they wired? And then creating a situation that they will bloom, they will thrive in. And that's a strategic father that would look at life like that. And it's also encouraged in the New Testament. We see that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so that is a involved dad, and that's a strategic dad that is seeing that if he's doing certain things that would be a frustration to his children to the point of anger, that he stops that and he desires to pour into their life and have discipline and instruction based on what the Lord would want. So the dads need to have a game plan, and you want to be strategic with your child. You would do that with any other thing. You would plan out if you were going to build something. You'd have plans. Architects do that. I mean, we could go down the list of when you're coaching, you have a plan on how you're going to put together your team, and then you have practice and all those things that are involved in making you what you need to be. And so there's a chart that is here that you can get online if you need for Dad's Game Plan from the section Winning at Work at Home. And what a son or a daughter needs, and first of all, what they need to see. And they need to see that dad, number one, dad is loving mom. And you'll see on the chart, it goes 1, 2, 3, and it goes all the way to the age of 21. And when it says dad loving mom, there is a star, which a star denotes a year when this item is especially important to your child's life. That is the one of the number one things that a child needs to see, that dad is loving mom. And so there would be a star under every year, one all the way through 21. And then what a son or daughter needs, they need to see dad's character. They need to see that dad is, and dad's character is something that obviously a child starts to pick up about the age of 10 all the way into the age of 18. Obviously, they're starting to make a step, hopefully, toward independence and maybe heading out to a life on their own. But at 10, they're starting to figure some things out. I think about that with my children and with younger ones. When you're even doing jokes with them and stuff like that, they're very literal. And so they don't really pick up on sarcasm or satire. And so a lot of times with humor, with little ones, you have to be very literal with them. And then as time goes by, they start to figure things out. Well, when it comes to dad's character, they literally start to see that at around 10. It's like, you know, my dad isn't what he portrays himself to be. He at home, he's one place. Out with other people, he could be at church and people are saying all this stuff about him, or they see that he talks a certain way. I've had kids that were a part of my youth group, whether it be me as a youth pastor or even me as a pastor, and we've done activities, and there are children that their dads are involved in church, and I've come to find out later their children have no respect for them spiritually, none at all, because they don't see anything to dad's character. And that usually comes out eventually, that comes out, but it's sad, but that's just the reality. So I don't want to be that type of person. I want to be the same person that I am, everywhere. And then we see dad's heart. And that starts at the age of 13. And this would denote a year that holds special opportunities for you and your child. And so that would start around 13, and they start to see you making the effort, and your heart toward things, your compassion toward things, how you talk in the car. Those are the things that would have a huge impact on a son or a daughter. And then when a son or daughter needs to hear, they need to hear, I love you, right from the get-go. The age of one, the age of one day, one week, there were times when with my children that I would literally hold them, and they're little babies, but I would whisper to them how much I love them and how much they're a gift from God to me, and how special they are, and just let them know that. And I do that now with the grandchildren. So I love you. It starts from the get-go. And then to hear, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. And that should obviously start from the get-go. But from the age of 13 on, it's something that is just so important for a child, that it isn't just when they do it, you know, everything perfectly, but that they know that you notice the when they're a good sport, when they're making as much effort. They may not get the grade, but at least they're making the effort. They're taking the time to do it, and that you're taking the time to watch them and to say to them, I'm proud of you. And then lastly, they need to hear you're good at, and then you fill in the blank. And that starts at the age of 13 too. I mean, they need to know. It'd be great if they could hear that sooner, but they're still trying to figure themselves out. I know that there were times with my children that they were involved in sports, or they were involved in this different activity, and it was something that we had to take some time. I remember my daughter was playing basketball, and at a certain point, and she was good, but at a certain point, and she didn't want to let me down, but she had a more of a bent toward drama, toward music, and she was going to be getting off of the basketball team, and she was going to be part of the plays, part of the musicals at the school, and for her to know that's okay, that was the sports thing. Obviously, I like it, but you're wired this way, and that they know you're good, and she was good at that, and she did start to thrive in those areas. My son, who is good at drafting, he's got skills when it comes to building things that they didn't come from me. They probably came more from his mom and more from his grandfather on his mother's side, and he's good at that. And when I see him build those things and do those things, I want him to know that he's good at that. My other son, who has giftedness with people, and he's just able to talk to any sort of person, and he's able to have compassion and pour into the lives of these people that God has placed in his life. You're good at that. To be able to say that to him, it's just so important. And there's a pattern here that we see when Jesus is heading toward public ministry. He's baptized, he comes out of the water, and the Holy Spirit rests on him in the form of a dove, and we see the Father and what he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Okay, so I love you and I'm proud of you and you're good at that. That's how the Father speaks to speaks about his Son. That's how we should be speaking about our son or daughter. And then what a son or daughter needs to receive, they need to receive affirming encouragement right from the age of 10, when they're starting to figure some things out and beyond, that they're affirmed and encouraged in what they've done and who they are. And they also need to receive life instruction, and that there's opportunities for that. There's instruction on virtues and basic life skills and preparation for adolescence and learning the definition of manhood and womanhood and instructions on boys and girls and friends and school and work and job and the challenge of college or work. They need to learn about loyalty and dependability and cleanliness. Those are all things that they need to receive from a dad. And then Jesus in his or her life. They need to receive that. That by the age of 6, they're hearing more about Christ. And it isn't just a church thing. They literally see it in your life. And they see the infant, and they hear the gospel, and they learn about Jesus, and they have a basic understanding of how to live as a Christian and opportunities to serve Christ. So those are things that they need to receive. And then lastly, what a son or daughter needs to experience. They need to experience special one-on-one times, the times where a dad would take out his daughter and have special time with his son, with whether that be playing catch or going on hikes or working on a project together or just all of those things, special one-on-one times that they know, a time away. Those that there's such value to that. And then lastly, if it comes down to it, having some sort of ceremony or something that you're knowing that this person is being instruction in what it means to be a man, what it needs to be a woman, and growing in manhood and womanhood, and then released to manhood and womanhood. Those are all things that you as a father take the time and initiative to do. And so let me ask you this as we wrap up. Which of the five types of dad was your dad most often? And then which of the five types of dads are most often with your kids? How was that game plan that we talked about just now for raising sons and daughters helpful to you? And then what's one strategic move that you could make right now to become a better dad in light of that game plan? What is one strategic move you could put when you think about those key moves for your future? And then lastly, what did you hear today that impacted you most? And then could you explain that?